In the last 100 years, the opportunities for female directors have absolutely grown and gotten better. However, there's a long road to go. There are not nearly as many female directors as male directors that are regularly working and getting to pursue their projects.
Hi, I'm Dani Savino, and I'm here to talk to you today about female directors and filmmakers and what they're facing in the industry today for this episode of Hollywood Let's Talk.
Three female directors that come to my mind quickly are Greta Gerwig, Emerald Fennell, and Sofia Coppola. Gerwig has most recently been in the spotlight for the cultural phenomenon that is Barbie. Her other big movies are Little Women and Lady Bird, which are some of my favorites, and I'm a huge fan of Gerwig and her movies. Fennell's most recent project was Saltburn, which I personally really enjoyed. This garnered a lot of attention on social media, and it was a little controversial, but all the people I talked to pretty much enjoyed it. She also holds an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay for her film Promising Young Woman. When I watched both of these films by her, I was just in awe of her directing and her style and her storytelling skills. I think they really are brilliant films. And finally, Coppola has been on the scene for quite some time and has an extensive resume of films under her belt. She is critically acclaimed and has moved far past any accusation of receiving her fame and success from her father, also world-renowned director Francis Ford Coppola. There are so many brilliant and beyond talented female directors and filmmakers that so many people cannot name or don't even know about. There are so many obstacles in any woman in film's path, from getting a film made to the way that they and their work are treated.
With me today, I have a very special guest, my friend Alana Wunsch. Hi, Alana. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to talk with you about female directors, female filmmakers, as another woman in media, and just knows a lot about it. So
thanks for having me.
Of course. So, I think just starting right off the bat, how do you feel, and just your general thoughts about the difference of opportunities, of career paths, of just journeys of women versus men in the filmmaking industry, like female directors and filmmakers having to fight for the same recognition and validation as their male counterparts, having to work so much harder just to get those same opportunities, not being recognized as much. Just kind of your general thoughts about all of that.
Yeah, so I definitely think film is a much more male-dominated career at this point in the, like, back end of things, like, production, directing-wise. Yeah. Actors, actresses, obviously, I feel like there's, like, a good mix at this point, but back end wise, that's not the word to say, like, in the background. There's definitely, like, a split, I would say. It's harder for females to break into the industry, and I feel like they're pigeonholed into, like, one genre, like, oh, they can write a rom-com, and that's about it. But it's harder for them to be taken seriously in different genres. If they want to do horror, if they want to do a historical fiction, if they want to do an action movie, like, it's criticized more because it's coming from a woman, and audience may think, what do they know about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though, like, what does anyone know about anything? Like, you can learn it. I don't know. I used to be a film major, and now I'm a PR major, and the shift between the male-dominated classes in my film major and the discussions we were having there being, like, you know, like, the classic film bro conversations, to, like, PR, which is very female-dominated, it's, like, girly and happy, and people are willing to have conversations with you about different things and aren't forcing their, like, agenda.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Yeah, and the fact that it starts, like, that's such a good example. It starts on the academic level. Like, we're in college. It's not even, like, the real world yet, and you already see such a stark difference in other industries versus when you get into film and TV and the kind of people that are going into that or studying it. You really do see, starting so early on, that split, the divide, the kind of... I don't know, just, yeah,
they
the male...
They act like they're all high and mighty.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I don't like Fight Club.
For context, me and Alana tried to watch Fight Club our sophomore year and did not finish it. And have not returned to it since.
I think we watched Burlesque instead right after.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we decided to watch something else. So as a woman in film, as I talked about in our genres episode, the film bro genre, the people studying film, the films that we're studying in those classes on a curriculum level, it starts so early and it's so ingrained. Like, as a film major, I feel like I'm just taught, like, okay, these are the great directors, this is what they do, these are the movies that are good and are gonna win awards,
and that's all you need to watch.
There's no more history, there's nothing else. You don't need to learn about female directors or see movies made by women, when there were some, like, obviously, again, like, the opportunities are less, the career paths are obviously kind of stunted and filled with obstacles, but there were films made by women, like, before 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, definitely.
So, it's not like when we're studying 1975 to the present-ish was our History of Film 3 curriculum. Not a single one by a woman. I understand earlier on, not a single one. So, and I've talked about this in past episodes, I probably will talk about it again in future episodes, but yeah, just starting at the educational level, teaching people that is so discouraging. Like, someone who, like, I would love to go into filmmaking and get to go down that creative path, but, like, it's kind of frustrating, kind of disheartening to see the way that women are treated in the industry, the lack of opportunities, just the bias towards male filmmakers. Do you have any thoughts on, like, why female filmmakers, like, why are we still fighting for opportunities? Do you think it's just that culture and it's just so hard to break out of it? Like, I don't know what can change. Because, like, obviously we're taking steps forward. Yeah. Like, we're trying. More women are getting opportunities. But, like, it's still a real struggle. And it's been, like, highlighted. And obviously the point of this podcast and so many other people have fought and talked about this. But, like, do you have any idea, like, why it's still such a struggle and there's so many obstacles still?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily just a film industry problem. Like, clearly women are still fighting to get into many different industries, but I feel like for film specifically, people have such a, like, notion of what makes a good film, and they've seen men do it a million times, but maybe they haven't seen as many women film, like, women-directed films, because they just aren't as readily available, so they might not, like, trust them in a way, or think, like, lower of them because they haven't seen something from that. So I think it's just something, like, we need to keep breaking through and creating more films as women for women and for everyone, so that men can see that a woman can direct a film that they might like as well, and it's not just targeted towards females.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's such a vicious cycle of, like, there's not a lot of things solely, like, created by women or female-led. So then if it, like, now is obviously a different case, but kind of as we're getting the ball rolling, like, there's less things of that kind. So then if something's pushed, like a Madame Web that's, like, all female characters, or even, like, Captain Marvel, like, these are also things I talked about when it came to genres, but specifically those movies, it feels like the care was not taken with them and the effort was not there because they're led by women. And then you can blame the fact that they didn't do well on the fact that it was either created by a woman or led by women.
When it's just not the case.
Like, it's lazy writing a lot of the time. It's just, like, forcing it, like, just chugging it out. And I think that happens so often. I remember doing research for my capstone paper where producers are so much less likely to give female directors and filmmakers money because they don't want to take that gamble on them. And like you said, like, just that risk of, like, they don't know because so many more men have done it. So it's like, well, we don't know if a woman could do it as well or whatever.
Yeah, which is stupid, but yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah, so it's just this vicious cycle of, like, women aren't getting the opportunities, and then the lack of opportunities is getting blamed on the fact that, like, they don't have enough experience, or they don't know if they're going to do it well. And, again, just kind of frustrating and disheartening to look at that, but, like, what do you think is kind of the audience's role in supporting female filmmakers, getting more of them in the spotlight, like, helping in their success to kind of show the people funding movies, the people whatever, that, like, people want to see this content and they support it and all of that. Like, what is kind of the steps to, as an audience member, where obviously you can't do a lot, yeah, but, like, what do you think?
I would say, like, just highlighting it on social media. Like, we've seen the power of social media in, yeah, many different aspects, film industry, music industry, literally every industry. So I think kind of if you see a film you like, promote it, talk about it, tell your friends, just kind of, like, getting that message going and, like, the cycle of, like, viral videos, viral topics, yeah, viral trends, like, can have such an impact on female filmmakers and directors. And obviously we're not in the boardrooms, we're not the ones giving funding, mm-hmm, like this, that, but talking about it more, bringing awareness, and just kind of, like, generating a need for it and a desire to show, like, companies that, yeah, this is worth investing in, this is worth producing, something like that.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things that we're seeing right now is women who have made it into the industry now kind of using their platforms to bring more awareness to it and give more opportunities. Like, you see actresses turned into producers, producing their own, mm-hmm, films, like Margot Robbie on Barbie, Emma Stone producing Poor Things, and even ones that they're not in necessarily. But you see a lot more of that, which men started doing so long ago, like, yeah, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon or whoever have, like, been casting themselves in things and producing things, like, as long as we've been alive.
Yeah.
So, like, it's definitely not a new concept for actors to become that multi-hyphenate, like, actor, director, producer, whatever roles they're taking on. But you are seeing more women do it. And then you have some women creating their own production companies. Like, I know, like, Gina Davis has an organization. I believe Jessica Chastain has a film company where they're giving more opportunities. So I think the biggest thing is, like, supporting those women who are getting the bigger, higher-up roles and using the power that they do have in order to kind of give them the support that they need to take it even further. Yeah, and, like, absolutely, use it as a stepping stone to, like, give more opportunities to these women.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, one of, right now, the most influential, well-known female directors is Greta Gerwig. Like I talked about, Little Women, Barbie, mm-hmm, obviously.
Of course.
Lady Bird has made now, like, one of the films making over $1 billion.
Yeah.
Like, a very, very big deal. Do you think her success will kind of just, like, open more doors in general for more female filmmakers?
Definitely. Because while I feel like her films are definitely, like, female-oriented, obviously,
yeah,
and a lot of her audience and fan base is female, I feel like she's making such large films with such prominent people in the industry that, like, you can't miss them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's definitely, like, getting the foot in the door for other women to be like, yeah, they can create incredible films that everyone wants to see.
Yeah, and I think seeing what she's done and kind of working towards these projects that so many people do love. And yes, I agree, they are typically female-oriented,
mm-hmm,
and Little Women definitely has a bigger female fan base. Barbie, I'm sure many more women likes than,
yeah,
men. But seeing the fact that, like, I remember there was, I don't know if it was, like, a joke or whatever, like, at an award show, and it was a female comedian, I think it was Chelsea Handler, was like, oh, like, Greta Gerwig, like, just made one of the biggest movies ever, and,
mm-hmm,
yet, like, the next, like, producer to, like, decide if they're gonna make a movie is like, I don't know if it's enough.
Yeah.
And I think that really does kind of reflect just the atmosphere and the environment and the obstacles that even, like, this woman has made a name for herself, like, made this cultural phenomenon,
mm-hmm,
didn't get nominated for an Oscar.
Bro.
Not saying that, oh, she deserved to win over everybody else. However,
a nomination was well due.
She should have been nominated.
The ice commercial that premiered during the Oscars, where it was, like, the pink ice bottle,
mm-hmm,
and it was, like, you're doing, like, Greta or something instead of great. Loved it.
Yeah.
As a PR major,
yeah,
ate that up.
But it's just so true. Like, even her, like, I'm sure, like, she's still not gonna get as many, like, projects thrown at her or,
mm-hmm,
the funding that a male director wouldn't have in the past.
Exactly.
And it really did feel like at the Oscars this year is, like, there was a woman nominated. I think it was for Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm.
The director was a woman, and she was nominated. But it really did feel like it was, like, okay, like, one woman got nominated, so they couldn't nominate anybody else. Exactly.
They have to put that in there, so then they can't get as much hate.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, we put a woman in there. We yeah. nominated a woman, so you can't be mad.
Like, look, we checked off the box.
And, like, they shouldn't be, like, put up against each other or compared, where, like, you can nominate a bunch of male directors and they're all appreciated and recognized, yeah. where, like, it really did feel like, oh, it was like, oh, we have one. We checked the box. We don't need to nominate mm-hmm. anybody
That's
else.
It.
And again, like, not saying it deserved to win over any of them or, like, it should have been nominated over
mm-hmm.
the director. I think her name is Janine. It starts with a T and I'm totally blanking on it. She directed Anatomy of the Fall. Like, she should not have been nominated over her. But again, like, you could have had more than
one. There was room.
There was, yeah. It's just, yeah, it's a lot. So I think that's just something we see so much. Another director that I touched on was Sofia Coppola, mm-hmm. who obviously is daughter of Francis Ford Coppola, a fantastic filmmaker. And she has been pumping out really good movies for a very long time. And I think she's definitely not, like, unheard of and unknown, because a lot of people do know her, but, like, kind of under the radar for a long time, where mm-hmm. like, she has a lot of movies that have big fan bases, like Marie Antoinette is her one of her films, The Virgin Suicides, which I just watched recently, and those are movies that are, like, really well done and I think appreciated by some people, but not, like, super well known. And I think something super interesting was most recently she directed Priscilla, which came out very soon after, within 2 years,
of Elvis,
which was directed by Baz Luhrmann, a man. And I think, obviously, I think budgeting, like, a mm-hmm. lot of different things, like, they weren't exactly on an equal playing field in terms of, again, budget, kind of the scope of the movie, what they were trying to do. But, like, you see just so plainly the difference between the reception of Elvis, which was, like, a huge summer blockbuster, and, like, everyone went to go see it, and, like, everyone was, like, obsessed with Austin Butler, and, like, it was, like, this huge thing. Whereas Priscilla, I think, was very much appreciated by, like, the people that saw it. And it was an A24 movie, which typically has the connotation of, like, a smaller, kind of independent film.
Yeah.
More artsy, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it showed Elvis in not a great light, and so many people had an issue with that. Where, like,
Jacob Elordi, and that still didn't get people.
And, like, people didn't like it because, like, it either painted Elvis in a bad light, mm-hmm. or, like, it was focused on the wrong aspect of the story, or this was inaccurate, like, whatever. And people like, I don't know, like, just the difference between, I guess, male gaze versus female gaze, because...
Oh, it was day and night.
Yeah, it's so different, and the reception of them, like, it, obviously, I'm sure it did not nearly as well as Elvis did.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I'm sure that has to do with who the director was. It was from a female gaze, because it was telling the story from Priscilla's point of view, mm-hmm. which, obviously, like... You could even tell in the Elvis movie that there was issues and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. But obviously, in one movie, you're going to paint him as the main character, the good guy, whatever. The other one didn't paint him in a good light, and so many people had an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just such a good example of, one, on the filmmaking end, the difference between, like, a male director, a female director, the way the story's written, everything, who it's focused on, and then just, like, purely... just the difference between men and women, like, difference, that divide, that separation that we were talking about before.
And it's interesting because I feel like the Elvis movie also had such a female audience. Like, everyone was going for Austin Butler.
Oh, 100%!
The men were going for the Elvis story, and the women may or may not have been going for Austin Butler.
100%.
I was. That summer, I saw Top Gun for Miles Teller mm-hmm. and Elvis for Austin Butler. But Priscilla had just a female fan base. I feel like I didn't see any guys talking about it. But Elvis had both.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so interesting to see how poorly one was received versus the other.
And I think another just huge kind of example of that divide, and also, like... Like you said, having an audience that's male and female, where, like, mm-hmm. one might be all female, Barbenheimer this summer.
Yeah.
It was this huge cultural phenomenon. One was oriented toward men, I would assume. Mm-hmm. It's a historical film. Christopher Nolan kind of falls into the film bro category of directors. And then you had Barbie, which was Greta Gerwig, women, pink. Feminism, pink. The fact that they were on the same weekend, and I think every person or a lot of people that saw Barbie mm-hmm. also saw Oppenheimer to, like, celebrate the fact that it was two phenomenal yeah. movies coming out. It was, like, this fun thing, this trendy, viral, whatever, to kind of participate in both, see both in the same day. Like, mm-hmm. it was this huge thing that was, like, kind of just full of, it was very, like, wholesome of, like, just celebrating yeah. good movies, like, appreciating both for what they were, where I feel like that was a lot with, like, the Barbie audience, where yes. the Oppenheimer audience was, we're not like, seeing
Barbie.
I don't want to see Barbie, I'm just seeing Oppenheimer, or, like, dragged their heels uh-huh. into Barbie, and then, like, didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it, and it was just so interesting to kind of see, like, where people fell, like, the people you know, like, did yeah. you like both, did you appreciate both, like, what movie were you more excited to see, and what one did you end up liking more?
Mm-hmm.
So that was another just huge example of, like, again, I think typically female audiences, like, you go to all kinds of movies to enjoy it, and I think you're kind of forced to do that in a way, because for so long there Definitely. Wasn't movies made just for you, that, like, you went to anything because, one, it's fun, two, mm-hmm. it's the movies, and you kind of go to all outlets to kind of try to find content that's made for you, where typically male audiences don't really have to go that far
no.
to look for movies marketed towards them, and they are the target audience, so, like, they can just go to, like, I don't know, like, they have a little more narrow scope of, like, what they like, what they want to see,
mm-hmm.
And then you just have audiences that are closed-minded on both ends of the spectrum,
yeah.
And aren't really open to those possibilities, and I think, again, Barbie was a really big example of that. Like, people didn't want to listen or didn't, just thought it was, like, pushing things and, like, forcing things down your throat.
Uh-huh.
When, like, you go see it.
You didn't and that's watch the movie.
you didn't watch the movie. And also, like, going into it, I didn't see Barbie when it opened. It was, like, a couple weeks later, and I'd heard so much stuff about, oh, it pushes this and it pushes mm-hmm. that. There were so many people on both ends of the spectrum where it was, like, it was too much feminism and too much this and too much that, where there's also people that were, like, it didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, like, feminism 101 and she should have done more. And it's, like,
it's never enough for
It's
anyone.
Never enough. It's never putting done. This impossible standard, because you never have a movie that everybody likes. Like, no. That's just impossible. So to, like, put that impossible standard onto Greta Gerwig, who is just trying to make her way in this industry, is, like, so interesting to see the way that it's treated. Because, again, like, not enough, too much.
Let's have this agenda on some men. Like, come on.
Yeah. Like,
why is it gonna be Greta's problem?
You don't necessarily see that with a lot of male filmmakers, I think. That yeah. kind of general, like, outrage or, like, the commentary on everything. And, yeah, I think it's just the standard is so much higher for female filmmakers, and there's so much more pressure on it. I think that overall, audiences can do whatever that they can to support female filmmakers going forward, going to see it when there's a female-directed film, a female-heavy film. Like, even if you're not necessarily interested in it, I think just showing up
mm-hmm.
for that film, getting the numbers up, whether you rent it at home, whether you go to the theater to see it. I think that that's so vital, because obviously now Hollywood is so money-driven.
Yes.
So when they see the numbers, they're going to keep handing out those opportunities. And I think that we should be doing anything that we can to help give more of those opportunities to different filmmakers, whether that's mm-hmm. anyone who's not, I would say, just like a white man. I think there's so many people that don't have the same opportunities and haven't for a very, very long time. And I think just showing up again and just giving the kind of respect, the recognition, all of those things, both if you're working on these films, on or off the screen, going to see the films, commenting on social media, trying to do it that way, I think just definitely their, like, respect and recognition thing is so important, because I'm sure on female-led film sets that there is a definite problem with respect and kind of the authority, because that's always kind of an issue when there's, like, a female authority figure, I feel.
Unfortunately.
In every industry. So I'm sure that that is such a big problem. And then, yeah, again, just supporting those who have gotten the opportunities so that they can then open the doors for other women. Because it's been proven that when there's more women on the set, or, like, someone in charge that is a female, like, they then hire or work with a lot more females. It gives more people opportunities. It increases the quality of content that they're putting out if it's kind of about women, or it gives more complex, better written female, like, characters and stories, because you're having that point of view and people who, like, will care and put in the effort into a female character instead of just, like, over sexualizing them or, like, not fleshing out their character, not giving them depth, which is so many other issues. So yeah, I think overall it's still a huge issue, and obviously we are making steps forward. There are more opportunities, but in such a male-dominated industry, starting at the academic and collegiate level and moving all the way up to the actual film set and the producer's office and everything, the production companies, I think that it's just so important to highlight, one, the women that came before and have kind of laid out that groundwork and done their fighting so that people today have more opportunities. And then making steps towards the future and doing whatever they can to encourage women in the field, not make them feel that, like, discouragement and disheartening feeling. So yeah, kind of heavy topic for today, but thank you so much for joining me, Alana.
Anytime.
Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.